Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. It is Saturday, May the 9th, 2015, and this satsang is brought to you by the sponsors and our mystery donor who have made it available to you through their contributions. And I want to thank my sponsors and my mystery donor and all of those who care enough to listen to this radio program and ask questions, offer their insights, their doubts, their fears, their whatevers. I love hearing from you. It does not matter what your question is, as long as it's your question. And if you ever have a question you would like to offer, maybe to get the answer from someone like me, not the last word, but someone like me, or you just want to hear what might be possible with your question, which is wonderful as well, always feel free to come to this website at aspire.org. Go to the top of the page. You will see contact. It's a little box up there. And all you have to do is hit that little box with contact, and I will be happy to answer your question. And like I say, and I want to make this very clear, this radio program is only heard because of the kindness and the love of those of you who have made it possible through your tax-deductible gifts to make this radio program possible through your contributions and your sponsorship. Let's go to the first question, and I picked some, well, themes I think you'll see here. I find that people like to hear themes, so here we go. This one comes from Karen in Chula Vista. What gives you the right to tell us how to live? That seems very arrogant to me. Is your life exceptional? What do you know that we don't? Karen. Karen, I love your question. It is very pertinent, and it is very, very, very important. Now, I'm not going to sit here on this beautiful day and think to myself that I'm going to be able to answer your question to your satisfaction. I probably won't be able to. But I want to take a stab at it, not in order to make you happy or to satisfy your question or give you an answer that will change your point of view. That's never my point of view here. That's never my effort. So what I'm going to offer to you is an answer based on what I am trying to do and what I'm trying to offer. You ask me what gives you the right to tell us how to live. It seems arrogant to me. Please understand, Karen. I'm not telling you how to live. I'm not. I'm sharing with you my life experience. I am sharing with you what has gone on within me, what my life has been all about. It may not pertain to you. Heck, it doesn't pertain to 98% of the people that I work with, I talk to. They don't get it either. Everybody has their own opinion about their own life and what they should or should not be doing. I am not here to try to tell you that you're wrong and I'm right. And if I have given you this impression, I want you to please forgive me. This is why I ask for forgiveness at the end of everything I do, from TV to radio to commentaries, podcasts, videocasts. It doesn't matter what it is. I need to apologize to you because it is not my intent to tell you how to live. I am trying to share with you something of the other shore that I have experienced in my life. Now, whether or not this is valuable to you is up to you. But here we are, you and I, and you are listening to me in some way. You are listening to this radio program, I should say, excuse me, this satsang. You are listening to everything that I'm offering here. And evidently, I would assume, and I could be wrong, you've been listening to some of my maybe TV programs and watching them and thinking to yourself, who is this guy? Who is this guy? Who does he think he is? Well, that's the tone of your email. And that's a very good question. It really is. Now, Karen, I don't think of myself much as a person. I don't even think much of the personage that is called Gregory. I haven't for a long time. Sometimes he'll eke out here and eke out there, and it happens. I'm not ashamed of it. It just happens. But you give me a very good question. What gives you the right to tell us how to live? I am not telling you how to live. I am sharing with you what lives within me. And if it lives within me, it might, for sure, hint, hint, live within you. I am not trying to convert you. I am not trying to make you into the image and the likeness of a Gregory Penn. I wouldn't want that for anyone. That's why I never had children. I didn't want that in the world. There is enough of the kind of pedestrian mentality that I am. So that is not my goal. If I seem arrogant to you, please forgive me. I don't mean to be. It is an awkwardness in me. And this awkwardness often gives way to all sorts of anomalies that live within the personality of Greg that I have collected over the years. I try not to be arrogant. I don't have all the answers. I may not have any, but I may be able to incite within you the question that needs to happen. And that is, why do we even need answers? You ask me, what do I know that you don't know? I don't know you. How would I ever answer that question? But one thing I do know, and I have known it since the moment I was born, that we are here for many reasons. Reasons that are beyond the capacity of the human mind to persevere in, to even understand. We don't get it. We don't want to get it. To get it would mean to change everything in our life, to change the way we live, to change the way we breathe, to change the way we think about anything. In fact, it is all about dropping thinking. I am not here to serve as the word, the gospel of what you should or should not to be. I'm merely a small voice in the wilderness trying to share with you something that I've found that intrigues me. It is not about controlling our lives. It is not about making our life better. It is not about getting what we want. I mean, ministers and teachers in the New Age market, as it were, are always telling you how to live. They're telling you, you should do this to get that. And if that's not coming into your life, then it's because you're doing this and not that. That's not what I am saying. That is not the thrust of my work. That's why my work is, in relative words, so small. I lived with a man for years who was awakened, and it was very difficult to follow him. And most all of the people who were there who did know him and lived with him, they're not around anymore. They're either dead or they gave up years ago. People need icons. They need energy fields to live in that cause them to maybe consider the idea that there is more than what we live for. That life is more than meat and the body is more than raiment, as Jesus said. Think of my little offerings here, Karen, as mere ways to reach you, mere ways to suggest that there might be something different. I'm not saying more or better. It's different. And maybe what I'm offering to you does not gel inside your mind. And that's okay. But please understand, I don't think I know more than you. I just live a little differently than you. I just live in another way than you do. And I'm sharing that way. Some people are very adept at it, then they get it very quickly and move on with me, and we do interesting work. Some are skeptical of it, but sit around and watch and see if others are getting it, that they might get it. And then there are others like yourself who can't get it at all and wonder what I'm up to, sometimes even throwing rocks at me. That's the majority of people that I talk to. Karen, just listen. Listen to me as though you were listening to the wind blowing through the pine trees. You are listening to me like the sound of running water. Just listen. Don't agree and don't disagree. Just listen. And if you can just listen without agreeing or disagreeing, you never know what might come forth. You never know what might occur for you. Again, I think it's beautiful that you asked this question. And I hope one day, maybe in some way, you and I get to meet. And maybe I can answer your questions more in depth. Please, Karen, forgive me. Namaste. It is interesting how people listen to me. If I don't have the basic philosophy down that they contend with all of their life or that they believe that they believe in, then I'm a heretic. But if I'm not telling them what they want to hear and seeking to give them, they want things, money, power, maybe health, all sorts of things. People want all sorts of things. And then when they don't get them in the world, they think, well, maybe I'm doing something wrong with the gods. And then they come and they listen for a while and think, well, maybe Greg knows how I can get this thing. Greg isn't interested in getting things. Greg isn't interested in controlling your life or teaching you how. There is a part of me. You have to hear it. You have to make room for it. It is merely trying to communicate to you. What is that message? Well, it is inaudible. It is not something that is conveyed through words. It's an occurrence. It's inexplicable. And I emulate it all the time. Some of my students who are more adept really feel it. Some can't feel anything. So it all kind of boils down to you, not me. I'm just the messenger. I am not the message. Let's go to the next question. Linda, she doesn't tell me where she listens from. Do you believe in fate and destiny? If so, why? How do we control our life? And isn't that what we're here to do, to control it and have a good life? Linda. Well, Linda, if you controlled your life and had a good life, that's very subjective. You are controlling your life. And there is a fate and a destiny. What? How are you controlling your life? That is the question. Most people think they try to control it through either action or mind power. But actually, the life is revealed to us and it manifests for all of us the same. How we interpret our life, how we interpret what's really going on, that's the difference. If I give it interpretation based on the mechanism of my survival, the need to survive, my survival mechanism, then I don't have much to give you. Then there is not much, because survival is one thing, living is another. I know people who live very well. They have really nice homes. They have lots of money. They have beautiful possessions, but they are miserable people. They have no horsepower in them. They can't move or do anything unless they're incited by the idea of more, 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 more. I know very few people who understand their intent. You ask me, do you believe in fate and destiny? Oh, yes. Everyone comes with their fate into this world to meet their destiny. But most people miss their destiny because they don't listen to their fate. They don't recognize what it is really all about. They just continue to do what they do as they do, which they do. How do we control our lives? We don't. You can't control this thing. It is so beautiful. It is so wild. It is so, what do I want to say, unpredictable, that to try to make it predictable and control it is to take the very beauty out of it that it is. To live in this life, you must be very brave. You must take the attitude, come what may, not my will, but thy will be done. And then you find your fate. Your fate is what you are here for. Your destiny is how that will be fulfilled. And if I am very aware, if I am quiet enough on the inside and unsuspecting about what is going on, rather than pushing and making things happen that I believe should happen, I start to see things in the light of a great wisdom that is deeper and more profound than what I can believe in. Now something of the other world comes into me. Now meaning comes into me. We are not here to control our life. We are here to follow it. Karma is in effect at all times. People think they're getting away with their mischief, getting away with the things that they are doing in their life that pertain to being mean-spirited and ugly. This is not the way. This is not what it is all about. And if you want to know what the way is, you have to listen. You have to follow. You have to meditate and follow your silences all the time. Keep following your silence. Keep following what is intuitively beautiful inside you. This beauty is not about getting or having or owning. Your fate is your karma. Your destiny is to understand the nature of that karma and then learn to follow it without hesitation, without fear, without doubt. Now, what that is for each an individual person is not for me to say. I am not here to tell you what that is because you must discover it on your own. A lot of my students that I offer this to just turn their back on it. They don't want to know. They are mesmerized by the mirage of objects and things in the deserts of their life. And they want oases of money and comfort and power and prestige. Rewards. That's all they think about. And as we go on with living in this manner, we lose the spirit of our soul, of our heart. This work takes courage. You have to allow your heart to break. Cahil Gibran was right that when something comes along that is deeply painful, it is our hardness of heart that is being broken. And in that hardness of heart lives the seed of the soul, the authentic soul. But most people are so busy trying to gather objects and people and things and money and all sorts of possessions that their life isn't simple enough to see the simple truth. I'm not here to be rich. I'm not here to be poor. I'm not here to have, and I am not here to have not. I am simply here. And whatever is presented to me is appropriate. That's it. And I follow it. And if I'm wise, if I have developed a sense of my own spirit, then I will see. I don't need to control this life. I simply need to let love live me, to let this beautiful life live me. The rest does not matter. I hope that helps you. Thank you, Linda, for your beautiful question. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And please forgive me. Namaste. It's a very good question. Two really, really good questions. The last one is a corker. It's from Carrie. And he does not tell me, or she does not tell me, I don't know if it's a him or her, where they live or where they listen to me from. The question just is this. Greg, what is death? Carrie. Carrie, there are many different plateaus, levels of life in this world. We create them through our thinking, our emotionalism. And because of our thinking and our emotionalism, we are caught in certain predicaments of life, of consciousness, of all of this. And this just keeps going and going and going. So let me just say this to you. There is no such thing as death. Just because I leave my body does not mean I have died. It means that I have left this body. Now, you can call it death if you want. If that's what you need to call it, that's what you need to call it. But I do not think of it in that way. To me, life is deathless. People leave. People come. I watch it. I work at hospice and I watch people leave all the time, teaching me lessons of facing my own Gregory Penn fear of death. And we all have it. The human, it's very afraid of death. Some people invite it. They taunt it because they don't like their life here in this world. So they taunt it, wanting something new, wanting something better, wanting something different, whatever. I've heard it all. Death plays a very important part in our psychology. Without death, there is no pathology. The pathology we have of our own thinking nature and the way we live is that there is a beginning, a middle, and an end. And that's the way we like to think. Therefore, it gives us the license to do many things. To believe or not to believe, to live recklessly or live cautiously. All of these things are philosophies and beliefs that we have that have nothing to do with the meaning of our life or the substance of our living. So what I must ask myself is, what am I doing? How am I living? Why do I look for the living among the dead? There is no dead. And as long as I keep thinking in this manner, in this way, I will be fooled into thinking black and white, good and bad, right and wrong. And as long as I think in those terms, my pathology is set, my thinking is set, my beliefs are set, my life is over as I know it. Because I will never, never entertain anything other than that. And because of that, I remove myself from the meaning of my own existence. So I say to you, give up all of that. Live a life where death does not exist. Don't look at life and say, oh, we do everything we do, and then we either get punished or rewarded for it, how we have lived, through our death. This is horse manure. You don't know that. This is maybe not the way. Maybe thinking that the way is the way might be horse manure for some people. It doesn't matter. You have to have a sense of depth within you. And Carrie, if anything, this life is to bring us the depth. The depth of our being, the ability to go beyond our rudimentary minds, our pedestrian mentality, going to something more profound inside. Something that speaks of a great love within. Something that speaks of the mystery of life, and live in that mystery. In fact, live as that mystery. And if you can do that, you have done a great deal in your life. And you have found the meaning of your own existence. Search for the meaning of your existence. Search for it with all of your heart, your soul, your strength. And you will eventually see death is merely an opinion. Trust me on this one. It's merely an opinion. Please forgive me. Namaste. Interesting questions. If you have a comment, a question, something I might be of service to you, please, at this website at aspire.org, you will see at the top of the page, it says contact. Just click on it. Send me an email. I'd love to hear from you. I hope you have a very beautiful day. Thank you for listening. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.